Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Niyevedu. Back to Sefer Mishlei with Siyata Dishmaya. We're holding towards the end of Perek Yud Zayin. I hope everyone had an enjoyable, relaxing, and most meaningful, uplifting summer. And now back to the Musar and Tochacha on the pages of Shlomo Melech's Mishlei, hopefully to set us in the right mood and establish the proper perspective. Likros the Yom Aram Haba Leinu L'Tova. So we're holding towards the end of Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Chav Beis, the idea of being besimcha and the effects of being besimcha can have on your physical well-being. Continues the Chachmi Kalada. Pasuk Chav Beis, Lev Sameach Yetiv Geha. A happy, joyful heart, Yetiv, will be tov, will be good and beneficial for Geha. What exactly is Geha? If you look at the Metzudas Tzi and he says, Kimo Kegeha, we're missing a Chav. And the idea is in Yane Refua. The idea conveyed is one of a cure. And Ibn Ezra as well understands like the Metzudas Tzion. And Ibn Ezra also learns what's Lev Geya. It's really Chosachof and it's an Indian of Marpe. It's an Indian of health, an Indian of a cure. And what Simcha are we talking about continues the Ibn Ezra. As someone who is Samech Vechelko, who is happy with his lot, Ayetiv Laguf, that will be good for the body, just like a cure. So the Ibn Ezra and the Metzudas Tzion understand the word Geha means an Inyan of Refuah, a panacea, if you will, a cure-all. The best thing for the body is a joyful heart. That's the Ibn Ezra Metzudas Tzion understanding Geha as a cure. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, Lev Sameach Yetiv Geha, Kisha'odam Sameach Bechelko, again like the Ibn Ezra, what does it mean, happy? Happy means, Ezu Ashira Sameach Bechelko Perkeyavish Perkdali Mishnale. Someone who is happy with his lot, then Ponov Meirin, and that person exudes a radiant countenance. The light comes out onto the face begins to shine, like the Kohen Gadol coming out of the Kodesh HaKadosh on Yom Kippur, like a Chos and a Kala Yotzei Mi Beis Chuposa. There's a radiance, there's a glow, a metaphysical glow. If you're in a state of joy, but what joy are we talking about? A ruchniistic joy, a spiritual type of happiness of Sameach Lechelko. That's going to come out on the Ponov. Ear in your face is going to radiate. As the Marami Prag points out, why do we call the face the Panim? Because Panim is an abbreviated form of the Pnimiyut. Your Pnimiyut comes out on your face. I get a glimpse of your true emotional state anytime you read someone's face. If the face doesn't give it away, as Mark Salem writes in his Six Keys to Unlock and the Power of the Mind, you can always peer into a person's eyes, again, part of the face, and through the eyes you can readily discern what's that individual's true emotional state. So that's the idea of Rashi understanding Geha as an Indian of a Noga. Noga is light. So Rashi understands pun of Mirim. We're talking about the lighting up. The Vilna Gaon says, Geha hu apanim. Geha actually refers to the face. Others don't understand like that. The Malbim seems to say it refers to the entire body. The Targum actually writes, Liba chadyo. A happy, joyful heart, a mashpir, will make good, will make correct gufa. Not just establish a radiant countenance, but it'll be good for your entire guf, your entire physical well-being. See, here we have a Targum of the Nevi'im. The Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, we have a lot of secrets contained in the Targum, and the Targum is revealing, and not just will you exude that radiant countenance, that shiny countenance, not only when you're in a state of joy, will people say, well, look, this individual looks happy, but it's going to be beneficial for your physical well-being. It will enhance and improve your physical state. Liba chadyo. Hamash begufa. Maybe that's responsible. What happened to Hillary Clinton yesterday when she sees she's down in the polls? Who knows what could happen? And at the end of the day, it changes one's mood. It's mash bergufa. And the truth is, this was a classic book came out years ago. You probably have heard of it if you haven't read it, by Norman Cousins. It's called Anatomy of an Illness. If you haven't read it, strongly recommend it. Anatomy of an Illness by Norman Cousins, the phenomenal bestseller on illness overcome and the triumph of the human spirit. And it's predicated on two fundamental ideas. Number one is, don't just let the doctors take care of you. Take care of yourself, and you go ahead and be the best doctor over everybody else. The patient needs to be actively involved in the process of getting better. But another fundamental concept is that humor and joy and your positive attitudes can completely alter your physical state. If I could read you just a little bit from Anatomy of an Illness, Norman Cousins, the author, writes as follows. I remembered having read 10 years or so earlier Hans Selye's classic book, The Stress of Life. And with great clarity, Selye showed that adrenal exhaustion could be caused by emotional tension, such as frustration or suppressed rage. He detailed the negative effects of the negative emotions on body chemistry. And that's going to be the contrast of the pasuk. Averuach necheya, a broken spirit, a crushed spirit, atiyabish gorim, will dry out and will cause the bones to wither. So it's not just that if you're in a state of joy, your body will continue, the mere maintenance of status quo will stay the way it is. If you're not going to be happy, those depressed feelings are going to exacerbate your physical condition. They're going to make you worse off. The joy will make you better. She writes, while he detailed the negative effects and negative emotions of body chemistry, the inevitable question arose in my mind. What about the positive emotions? If negative emotions produce negative chemical changes in the body, then wouldn't the positive emotions produce positive chemical changes? Is it possible that love, hope, faith, laughter, confidence, and the will to live have therapeutic value? Do chemical changes occur only on the downside? And then he takes you through his own journey, where he had a terrible illness, and he shows how working together with his doctor, and the end of the day, he overcame this illness by forging an unusual collaboration with his physician, together beating the odds, and what was the genius? And helping the patient use his own powers of laughter, courage, and tenacity. The patient's talent was in mobilizing his body's own natural resources, proving what an effective healing tool the mind can be. And this remarkable story of the triumph of the human spirit is as inspirational today as it was at the time of writing a classic work, Anatomy of an Illness. He beat this terrible illness by mustering up the feelings of joy, of optimism, establishing a positive mental attitude. And that's really already back in Sefer Mishlei. If you never read Anatomy of an Illness, all you needed was this pasuk. The emotions of a human being will drastically alter the physical status as well. Halev Sameach, if in your heart you feel a true sense of joy, Ayetiv Geo will make the entire body good. It will make, the Vilna Gaon says, the face shine. Rashi says it's a lashon of noga, of lighting up. And that's the idea of the benefits that the joy on the inside produces on the entire person's well-being. And the contrast, of course, Baruch Necheya, but if a person has Chalila, a broken spirit, a crushed spirit, Atayabish Garim, it will cause the bones to wither and to dry out. What is the difference between Garim and the typically encountered Etzem? Atzamos, Etzem usually is the word for bone, writes the Vilna Gaon, and that's the structure of the bone itself. That's the outer part of the bone. But the inside marrow, the hollow part, the part that's filled with a marrow inside the bone, and that is called garma. What's the chiddush? The chiddush of bone, Vilna Gaon says, beautiful as follows. And that's the picture of contrast that the Vilna Gaon paints for us. He says, Geo, that's a reference to not only the guf, it's a reference to the face. We know the reflection of the pinimiyut based on what happens with the face. So that's the outermost part of a person. You have what? Skin. And you have then flesh on the inside underneath the layers of skin. Then you have the gidim, you have the muscles and the sinews, and then you have the bones. If you think about the physical structure, the physical makeup of a human being, obviously the internal organs mixed in, But in terms of the skeletal framework, what do you have? You have the bones on the inside, covered over by muscle and sinews over that, covered over by basar, by the human flesh, and then the outermost layers of skin. And you have those four. The or is mibachutz, the skin is on the outside, and it's the lowest, most inferior, that's why it's the most sensitive. And the strongest, of course, is the hard bone on the inside. You have these four levels, and they correspond to the four primary levels of a neshama, because what happens in Ruchnias happens at Gashmias. There are really five parts to a neshama, writes the Vilna Gaon. Five parts are called Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, and Yechida. But he says Yechida, as the very word connotes, is only Shayach to Yechidim, Yechidei Segula. That's something necessary for a Navi. A Navi is endowed with this higher level called Yechida. But most people don't really have usage of Yechida. So we talk about four primary parts. Just like there are four primary parts to the Chalik of the Neshama, so too there are four primary parts to the Chalik of the Guf. And that's the etzem.
What's the English of this one?
What's the?
Yeah, the English translation.
Of what? Of nefesh, ruach, neshama? And it's hard to translate the four parts of the soul.
The one that you said was for the
yechida. Yechida. So again, yechida means loshen yochid, all by itself. So it's an idea of, the Gros says, it's only shaykh to yechidim, it's only relevant to yechidei segula, to select individuals who can tap into that power of the highermost part of the soul. So the Vilna Gaon says, that's for yechidei segula, and that's the yechida. So what happens when a person passes away from this world after 120? You see that what? The deterioration begins first and foremost by the coloration of the skin. You see now the skin starts to change colors, then the basar begins to decompose and decay, and then come the muscles and the sinews, and the last part, the part that remains, are the atzamos, are the bones of a person, and that's the skeletal framework. That's the idea of when a person is sad, you're causing what? Where are we going to see the reflection already in the skin? When a person's happy, then what? Your bones feel strong, your muscles feel strong, you radiate the flesh, the skin shines and glows. That's the Chosin Akala. That's the Kohen Gadol. It has a practical, physical expression. When a person's really happy, your face shines. You want the best cover-up, the best makeup, the best is to be happy, is to be joyful. And people like hanging around a joyful person. So this is already Shlomo Melech. And what's the opposite? A broken spirit, it causes the bones in study after studies. And he talks about it a lot, cousins. How it mamish causes the muscles to lose their power, causes a person to feel weak. A person is not empowered unless you're propelled by that state of joy. We mentioned in the past, Rabbi Yitzchak has a chaver. We have when we measure tefachim, the measurement in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, we talk about a tefach, it's the average size of a male fist. But what does that mean, a closed fist or an open fist? Right, so Rabbi Yitzchak has a chaver, Talmud or Amenachem and Mishlov, Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. You have a clenched fist, and that's a tefach otsev. In the Lashon HaMishnah, we call this a sad tefach. And when you open the same fist and you let the fingers go, that's called a tefach sochek. It's a laughing tefach. Why would Chazal invoke such terminology? Because if you think about the metaphor, it is so appropriate. Because when a person's happy, what do? You want to open up. You come back from a great vacation, you want to share the experience, you want to go out to your friends, you want to tell everybody all about it, you can't stop talking. You open up, you become verbose, you're just gregarious, and you get all sociable. And you want to share the experience, share the great mood. When a person's in a bad mood, Rahman al-Islam, what do? You go into your little cocoon, you sequester yourself in the room, you go onto the blanket, you crunch up in that cocoon, that's a tefach otzei. That's a sad tefach. And when you're happy, you radiate, and a mamish makes a person come alive. The ruach necheya teyabesh garem makes a person feel much weaker. Let's take a look at the Rabbah. And the Rabbah speaks out at the practical, he's the only one, the Rishonim here actually translates it into practical ramifications. All right, the Rabbah. Hine, behold me simchas alev, from the joy in the heart, yischadish tov mare haguf, your appearance will actually look better. L'spashe tadam, the circulation will improve. When you're happy, your blood circulation will go to the Evarim. V'achomativi, and your natural temperature, v'chelke aguv, alubines fashit, you will have the ideal temperature in the body. V'aruach necheya shehepach simchas alev, what's that going to do? Hu tiyabe sha'ivorim, it's going to cause the limbs to dry out, to wither. Nehiskabi tzadam v'achomativi v'pnimi aguv. Because it doesn't allow the blood to properly circulate. When you're happy, the blood is circulating and moving around, and you're joyful, and it's going to have benefits to the physical anatomy as well. But if a person is sad, it's going to hurt himself or herself physically. Yevar bezen this pasuk, shasimcha mishubachas vatzdar maguna. Simcha is a positive thing. So not just because ibdu es Hashem v'simcha, serve God v'simcha. Not just tachas yishol lavatu shomakech v'simcha tuvleiva, then the pages of the Tokvacha and the rebuke of a parshas kisevah Hashem says the punishments are coming because he didn't serve me v'simcha. And this pasuk is machanish. Forget about God right now. Forget about God in the sense of serving God. For your own benefit, you'll have a greater ability to learn Torah, to do mitzvahs, because you're going to feel better. Rav Chaim Volozhin writes in his Ruach Chaim, a person learns more Torah in 1 hour of simcha than in 3 to 5 hours of atzmos. You could sit in front of a sefer and you're depressed, and your mind is not functioning at maximum capacity. And when you're happy, you're soaking it all up. That's it. You enjoy a vacation much more when you're in a good mood. That's the practical aspect. The Arizal was asked by Rechaim Mital, his devoted disciple, if you were to sum up Arizal, how did you get to your highest madrigas of Kedusha? So you would think it's because he said Tehillim all day, he fasted all the time, he learned Torah 24/7. His answer was, because I do Hashem's mitzvahs b'simcha. So very good. See, but doing them the simcha gave him kolchos in all other areas of his ruchnius. Because by doing it b'simcha, not only was he obedient to Hashem b'simcha, but it empowered his entire group, his entire being. He was continuously happy. The Chozanish, who had a very difficult life, a Chozanish was machazek thousands and thousands, countless of minutes. And he couldn't understand. He says a Jew has a connection to Torah, who gets up in the morning and recites the Birchas of Torah. Asher b'chabadu mikol ha'amim v'nasalunas, Hashem chose us, we're the chosen people. The Anichu, the Amaskul, he says, how does a Jew get up in the morning and not stay in a state of joy and ecstasy the entire duration of the day, no matter what Hashem sends your way? The very fact we're an Eben Hashem that should give us such great simcha and give us the koach to do the Ratzon HaBorei. That changes it all. To be in a state of simcha can have a major effect on our ruchnius and our gashmius as well. As we mentioned many times in the past, Rav Moshe Wolfson writes in his Sefer Emunas Yitzecha Parshas Kisavo that Rav Hirsch developed this theme quite frequently, the theme of phonetic cognates, the words of Lashon HaKodesh that sound alike are so often interrelated. The word simcha sounds like what? To be somech. If you're somech on Hashem, you'll always be b'simcha. Hashalech al Hashem yahamcha v'u yechakalacha. David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, if you cast all your worries and concerns onto God, He will take care of you. He'll sustain you. If you're somech tamen on Hashem, you'll always be b'simcha. And what do you netzav in a state of atzvus, in a state of sadness and melancholy? When you feel ne'ezav, ne'ezav, ne'ezav. If you feel abandoned by Hashem, then you feel in a state of sadness. So the way to ensure that you'll always be b'simcha is always to be somech on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that gives people the kochos. The same way that practically speaking, Rav Chaim Volozhin also, and his Ruach Chaim commentary and others discusses this, you learn much more in 1 hour being awake than you do in several hours of being tired. Productivity at work. Studies have been done. Productivity because people aren't sleeping as much as they should. One of the greatest impediments to productivity in the workplace, we're not sleeping. When you're awake and empowered, you accomplish far more than when you're in a state of depression. That's why sleep as so beneficial to a healthy, joyful mental state as well. I mentioned that years ago I was learning with Tal Ben-Shachar, who was at one time the most popular professor and university. He had a class at Harvard, 700 students, all about happiness. And he wrote books on happiness. So Dr. Tal Shachar, an Israeli Jew, he since moved back to Eretz Yisrael. So he told me, I don't know if it's in one of his books as well, but he mentioned this idea to me that studies have shown that a person who gets adequate sleep exercises and eats right. They have done MRI scans and shown that the dopamine levels responsible for a person's healthy state are the same as if you take a daily Prozac or Xanax or antidepressant. You can artificially alter your mental state, or God already ingrained us with the ability to naturally do it ourselves. If you get the necessary sleep and you eat right and you exercise properly, you take care of yourself, and that will go ahead and produce hormonally the proper level of dopamine and other hormones that will go ahead and produce a healthy, productive mental state. So that's Pasuk Chavetz.
When you say hormones, you know, after menopause, you lose your ability for certain hormones, and then you have your bone structure gets.
So there are a lot of things in life that could positively or negatively affect a person's hormonal levels. So that's why we have to see doctors, we have to consult, we have to do everything that we can to make sure that we're producing the optimal healthy state.
We're talking about bones that deteriorate because of our ability to feel happiness. This is something else.
Right. When we're talking, right, that was before about the bones and the physical state, and now we're talking about, in general, the mental state. A person produces a lot more productivity in such a case.
A lot of women didn't sleep much than 3-4 hours.
That's right. So the Vilna Gaon used to sleep 4 half-hour segments every 24 hours. So the mother of Rabbi Yosef Shaul Nathanson, who became a Golda Hador in the next generation, when he was about 15 years old, the mother of him, of Rabbi Yosef Shaul Nathanson and his brother, she brought them to the Vilna Gaon. And she said to the Vilna Gaon, please give them mussar. Why? Because this son of mine, he never says Birkas HaMazon. And this son of mine, he never says Kriya Shema Lamita. What did she mean? This son of mine, he never eats anything, so he never benches. He's always learning, he doesn't eat. And this son of mine never sleeps, he never says Kriya Shema Lamita. So they say the Vilna Gaon brought him into his room, and he showed them why they have to eat properly, why they have to sleep properly. And the Vilna Gaon supposedly said to the Sholem Eshiv that he had regret that had he taken better care of his health in his younger years, he would be able to learn even more now. So the answer the Sholem Eshiv said was, you know what, let me do like the Vilna Gaon. And if I end up like the Vilna Gaon, and that'll be just fine for me. And the end of the day, as the Ben Ishchai of Yosef Chaim, he writes in his Ben Ishchai, and the Chelek Halachas and Parshas Vayishlach Shon Aleph, he talks about sleep, and he says that he spoke to doctors. Now, we know nowadays many doctors and many studies will say the average person should get at least 7 hours of sleep a night, depending on the individual, between 7 and 9 hours of sleep a night. The Stipler Gaon, Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanevsky, writes in his Chelek Aleph of his Igros Kleine de Igrosal, that he also spoke with doctors, and the Rambam writes a person should get 8 hours of sleep a night. I guarantee you the Rambam did not sleep 8 hours a night. Our Rambam is talking about for the general population. He says if you don't need that much, you can get 7. If you need a little more, you can get 9. But they talk about 7 to 9. And this is already Rishonim, way before all the studies that have come out now in the last century. We're talking about Rishonim, who lived 1,000 years ago. I already talked about the number 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night for maximum output, maximum productivity in the ensuing day. However, the Ben Ishchai says that everyone has to know himself, and as long as you speak to a doctor and you know that you're not endangering yourself, because after all, Parshas Vaschana, Perek Dalet Pasuk Tes, Raki Shom Lecha, Ushvar Nafshecha Ma'od, and later on in Perek Dalet Pasuk Tes Vav, Nishmar Tamol Nafsho Seichem, you have to guard your health, you have to take care of your health. So as long as a person's not doing something actively detrimental to one's health, as long as you're getting enough sleep that you could still produce what you could produce, we know one of the Memchis Kenyani Torah, one of the 48 gates of wisdom, Pirkei Avos tells us, Perek Vav Mishnah Vav is Miyut Sheina. Means getting a little bit less sleep than you need. So you have to get as much sleep so you don't damage your body. But the Ben Ishchai also says, as long as you speak to doctors and you know you're not harming your body, you're allowed to make the decision as long as you know you're able to produce maximum output. So you have a lot of gedolim. To answer your question, these gedolim, they know Rav Chaim Volozhin. They know this concept that you learn a lot more in 1 hour being awake. But they had such incredible willpower that they can muster up the ability to concentrate, to focus, and to use all their kochas even when they were tired. And that's the mode, especially nowadays. If you have a little bit of coffee, you have a little jog, exercise, a little fun. There are ways of helping one gain that energy. But you're right, you have to gain that energy. But that's a cheshbon that a Talmid Chacham is allowed to make for himself.
The lesson for your mother.
Rabbi Yoshev discusses that very shiloh. And Shuta Rechom, Rabbi Yoshev was asked the shiloh, if parents send a boy or girl off to Israel, and they say, we're only paying for your seminary, for your yeshiva, go to Israel on condition that you get 7-8 hours of sleep a night. How many students in Israel are getting, he says, is the child obligated to listen? So what do you think Rabbi Yoshev's answer is? It's similar to the Ben Ish Chai. He says that if you know, he says, you can't just be reckless and say, well, my parents said I have to get 7-8 hours and you're just going to get 5. You're not allowed to do that. But if you speak to a doctor or someone who knows you and you know, what are your parents saying? They don't know whether it's 7, whether it's 8, whether it's 9, maybe it's 6 hours and 40 minutes. They mean you have to be healthy. As long as it's overseen by a doctor or physician, someone who says you can function at maximum capacity or more close to it without harming yourself physically by getting 6, 6.5, as long as it's within that window. But in a Hanami, he says, once you get too few hours a night that it's actually harming yourself, then it's not only a violation of an Nishmat Elohim Asher Seichem, it's a violation of Kibbut Aveim, because that was the true intent of the parents. So you have to listen to your parents in the sense of taking care of yourself, but not in the sense of exactly how many hours, because every person's different. A lot of external variables at play as well. But Avani, you have to take care of your goof. Rav Shimon Schwab points out in Daf Tov, page 400 of his Nimukim, at the back of the Sefer Mayan Beis Shoev and Parshas V'Aschanon, the only mitzvah out of all Tayyik mitzvahs where the Torah inserts the word Ma'od is, B'Nishmarta Ma'od L'Nafsho Seicha. When it comes to guarding your health, it has to be Ma'od. You have to go out of your way to guard your health, because you can't accomplish in Ruchnius unless you're all together in Gashmius. That's where Rav Dessler writes in Michtam Eliyahu. You read the second parsha Kriya Shema, Bahayim Shemo. We're talking about the schar, the reward, when we're makamel ol ha-mitzvahs. What's it going to be? Bahayim Shemo Tishmo, and then what am I going to give you? I'm going to give you the rains, and I'm going to give you food. When you do Ruchnius mitzvahs, you get Gashmius to keschar. Explains the Michtam Eliyahu. That's precisely the point. You can't continue to do Ruchnius unless you have the Gashmiyistic capabilities. You need to have your Kalim. You need to be healthy. People say, what's the biggest bracha? What do people want more than anything else? And study after studies have been done. People want health. Health is number one. I saw a study recently. People asked, what do you want out of everything in life? And they put it all on money and fame and fortune, love, health. Love was right up there too. But number one choice was health. People want to be healthy. With health, when you're healthy, then you can learn Torah, then you can do mitzvahs, then you could accomplish. And here Shlomo Melech already, thousands of years ago, was telling us that one of the key ingredients to being physically well is you got to be happy, you have to adopt the positive attitude. On to Pasuk HaGimel, Shochan Mechek Rosha Yikach. Different ways the Rishonim say of reading the Pasuk. Where do we put the comma? Is it Shochan Mechek Rosha Yikach? That you will take a bribe from the bosom, from the chest of a wicked person? Or is it as the trump, the cantillation seems to indicate, Shochan Mechek Rosh Yikach? A Rosha takes a bribe from a concealed place of the giver. Either way, the point is, whether you're the one giving the bribe or the one taking the bribe, you're not a good person. So what's the chiddush over here? We already know. You're not allowed to take shochad. Shochad yaver enei pechem yisalef devrei tzadikim. A bribe always makes a judge make mistakes. So what's the chiddush over here? Shochad mechek rosh yikach. The Malbim points out, and there's nothing wrong with taking money in the sense of what? As long as you do it b'ofen giloy, which means a judge could say, I'm going to go ahead and adjudicate this case, but the litigants need to both give me $100. So the money's out in the open. Each one is giving $100. I mean, you can pay. You go to Beis Din, you go to court. That's a shochad that's mutter. Again, we wouldn't call it a shochad. The point over here is, what's a bribe? A bribe is when things are concealed, when you sneak it into the pocket, when you hide it at the person, and that's the problem. So that's the concealed place. That's a concealed place of the chek, harasha. That's where you're going to go and take to do what? Lahatas orchas mishpat, to tilt at to pervert justice. But notice how it doesn't say pervert justice. It says Rabbi Binowitz in the Das Sofron points out lahatos to tilt orchos mishpat, the path of justice. Why? Because a real Shlomo isn't talking about the person who's going to change the psak, who's going to change his mind based on money. That's a Rasha Gomor. We're talking about a person who's going to do what? He's not going to change the mishpat. He's going to change the orchos mishpat. There are certain methodologies. There are certain pathways to get to the emistic mishpat, to get to the true and correct judgment. And what is he? He's not going to alter the final judgment. He's going to alter the route, the journey to get there. And by messing up along the way, and that will lead them to have the wrong result. And that's what he tries to mess up with the money. There's a great story of the Abderav. I heard it on a tape of Ephraim Waxman, that the Abderav was once asked to be the head dayan, sit alongside two other dayanim on a big case that came up in his town. And what happened? One of the litigants saw that he was losing the case. He saw from the beginning of the diyun of the court case, he saw that he was really going to lose. So what did he do? He knew that he would never, the Abderav was the head dayan, he knew he would never take money from him. But what did he do? He figured, you know what, I'll take a huge amount of money and I'll sneak it into his pocket. I'll sneak it into his pocket. And Ashokhar Yavreinich Pichem Yisalik Tivrit Tzadikim. You never know, and then he'll find this one, and it was totally concealed, no one's ever going to know about it, and he'll probably assume that it came from me, and maybe it'll go on an altar. So Ephraim Oxford says, what happened? On the after of, his coat was hanging in the back room, the back chamber, and all of a sudden he said to the Leonim, he says, I have to take a break. Now he was clueless as to the money that's sitting in his pocket. But when you're such a tzaddik, there's a sensitivity that he sensed something was off. All of a sudden they were coming to a conclusion, and all of a sudden he felt that his mind was a little bit distorted. And he wasn't thinking in a lucid, clear fashion. And he says, I need to take a walk. Something happened. Something happened. I don't feel myself. I'm not mentally astute. Something happened. I have to take a walk. All right, so we're going to go ahead and close the case. I have to take a walk. So he goes to his chamber. He takes his coat, it was a cold winter day, and he takes a walk outside and he puts his hands into his pockets and he feels the money and he realizes now why he had his neshama already was so attuned, so sensitive that even before he was aware that the money was in his pocket, he knew that something happened. He walked back into the room, took the money out, put the money on the table and said, I leave this case. Even with taking the money and putting the money back on the table and not keeping it, even he didn't take the shochad. Of course he would never take the shochad. But just having that moment of reaching into his pocket and touching, if I give you a thick wad of hundreds of bills, if I give you $10,000 wrapped up in a rubber bag and I let you just hold it for a little bit, it still is a good feeling. Just touching it, he put it back. He says, I'm divorcing myself from this case. And that was it. And they had three new dayanim judge the case.
I just understand, I've asked this before, but this is the time it really bothers me. What order did Shlomo have? And we just went from Simcha and bones and everything beautiful that you just said, and now we're on this. What's the connection? Why did he go skip around so much?
A lot of times, sometimes we've made the connections, and sometimes they are very hard to figure out, and we don't see the Rishonim always picking up on it. there are sometimes cases, see by the flow, and we will see the ensuing psukim. I do connect a little bit, but sometimes it is hard. Sometimes it's hard to know. It could be that he's talking about now the variables on the outside, like simcha, abrash, things that could alter our mental state, either letov or lera, things that could come in from the outside. But there is no clear structure, pasuk by pasuk. A lot of times we see connections, but in Sefer Mishlei we don't find that clear connection.
Why?
I think part of it is, and you see from the Vilna Gaon, is that he wanted this to be digested, just like there's some Musar books that they tell you, Rav Volba writes, don't read my Sefer through and through from beginning to end. If something flows too easily, too smoothly, and what happens? You read it like a book, and you just read it through. And when you make it bite-sized pieces of information, and each one is its own independent thought. Then you work on it, you chew it over, you digest it, and it gets, you let it penetrate into the neshama. If there would be too simple a flow when it comes to Musar, Techocha, Asemei, Sukkah, Tafayim, and Aleph, Tafastam, Rubalo, Tafastam. You want to give a person criticism, if you just lay it all on, and you pile it all up, that's not going to do the trick. You got us this week, and any Musar Vod, no one will ever say, you know what, work on Kas, Gaiva, Covered Lashon Hara. You know what? Everyone should. It doesn't work like that. What was it? You got to take one thing per week, one thing per month. You see in the Sefer Cheshbon HaNefesh, and a lot of Musa works. You got to take one midah and spend a month or 2 months working exclusively on that midah. So I think that Shlomo Melech, very often there are connections, but he wants us to say, take it one pasuk, one idea at a time, and just work on this.
I was told that halachically, judges are supposed to wear the talisim over their face. I don't know if it's true, but I think that it's a very good idea, because whether we want to or not, when you come in front of a judge, he's a human being, and an impression is made, whether he wants to or not, and sometimes that impression works against the verdict. You know, sometimes you see...
Because you can have, you're 100% correct, you can have people who are wonderful actors or actresses, and they could cry, and they could put on a show, and people's emotions it strikes an emotional chord.
Is there such a halacha?
There's an idea of now looking at the face of the litigants. There is an idea, but it's not the halacha psuka, that it's not kept bidar klal by both the deen today.
Do it.
Okay? Now the point is that the dayanim have to be very careful to not be swayed by a person's emotions. Yes.
1,000 years ago, when I had to go for my orals for a master's in Brooklyn College, First you had to take the written, and then you had to go for the orals. And when you went for the oral, the three professors, if they looked at you, if one of them knew you, he was not allowed. He said, "I'm excused. I can't be this because I'm the person." Just no. Right. Could have been, you know, your teacher. Not allowed. That was then. I don't know what they do nowadays. Because there are many exams for licenses that you have to be interviewed. I don't know what they do nowadays.
Right. I know, that makes sense. That makes sense. It could definitely have an effect. 100%. Okay, so all different types of bribes that cause a person to alter on the pathways of justice. Pasuk Chav Dalet. Es Pnei Mevin Chachma. Es Pnei, the Rishonim say, is a lashon of Lifnei. Lifnei, in front of. A Mevin, an Ish Mevin is Chachma. And meaning what? Wisdom, if you're looking for it. If you're an individual who aspires to know, to possess knowledge, if you are a person who is a maven, chokhma lies at your doorstep. It is right there in front of your eyes. Ve'enik seal, but the eyes of the fool, ve'katzei aretz, are there at the ends of the world. A number of different Rishonim have different approaches here. And let's start with the Metzudas David. And Metzudas David says, Pasuk of Dalet, wisdom is always there, found right in front of you. As we know in Yitzavim, Lo Bashamayimi. It's right there, but why is it practically right there? Kiyumon mikol adam, because you're ready to learn from everybody. The truly wise person we know, Ezu Chacham Halomin mikol adam. Halomin mikol adam, that same mission, we just had Ezu Asher Smech Lechelka, which again, and we have to emphasize, doesn't mean content with your lot. It means you actually take pride and joy in your lot. You enjoy whatever Hashem decided to give you. How is the Chacham? The Lomi Mikol Adam. Why? Explains the Maral in his Derech Chaim. A Chacham is not simply someone who accumulated wisdom, because then he can get to a point. He accumulated a certain amount, and that's it. A Chacham is someone who is a Talmud Chacham, writes the brother of the Maral. First and foremost, you're always a Talmud. You're always learning from everyone. Ashenamar mekom lamde yiskalti. All those who have told me, I enhanced my intellect. Because we know you could have amassed tons of wisdom until you're 20 or 30 years old. If you're not growing that wisdom, what happens? The brain, and we know this scientifically, and you read all those articles on preventing Alzheimer's and dementia, get the brain going. Always keep the brain working. Whether it's reading, I mean learning. Learning, reading, trivial pursuit. Somebody met me this summer, he told me that he has a history in his family of dementia, and he was told he does everyday crossword puzzles. New York Times crossword puzzle, because he was told, that the challenge of the course of puzzle, the different parts of the brain, coming up with the word, finding how the words mix. This individual does course of puzzles every day, because it gets the brain going. You have to have the brain is always going. Rav Gedalia Shor writes in Rav Gedalia Parshas Lech Lecha, why don't you find sometimes a yeshiva bachurim who in their youth, they might have been the top of the class. And then you see them 10, 15, 20 years down the road, and they're nothing special. Because if they didn't work on those God-given talents, the pshat is, Hashem says, I take them away. If you don't use a muscle, what happens to Rachmana Litzlan? Someone who's horizontal in a hospital bed, and you don't use a muscle, you have to relearn how to use those muscles. The strength of the muscle deteriorates. The brain is also a muscle. If you don't use the brain, right, so Gedalia Shor, and he says, we've seen people in yeshivas who are the top of the class, and years down the road, there's nothing special, nothing so particular comes out of them. Because you always have to be using those brain cells. Ezu Chacham, the one who was always a Talmid Chacham, always a Talmid, always learning. What was Yeshua called? He was already a grown man, and he was still called what? Hanar. Lo Yomash Hanar. Why is he the Nar? A Nar is like in Mishalach Vayanaro. Hashem shook up the Mitzrayim up and down in the Reed Sea in the Yamsuf. A Nar is someone who's passionate, someone who's on fire. Yeshua says, however old I am, I want to keep learning. I always want to be that Talmud Chacham, the one who's excited to be learning Torah. And that's the Chacham, the Lomi Mikol Adam. Maral says, what's Mikol Adam? Even people who are not as smart or as wise as you are. Why? Because everybody has something to offer. Everyone has a piece of wisdom. Rav Moshe Feinstein used to sit and listen attentively when he would go to the Sheva Brachos of a Talmud. Now this Talmud's not going to tell him any Kedusha. But maybe he'll discover a new nuance, a new perspective, because everyone has a chelik in Torah. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Gavador, but maybe this young guy is going to tell him a new insight into a pasuk that he never thought of before yet. Become a lande yeskafi, and it's worth it the whole time to sit and pay attention, because maybe I'm going to chop a new perspective, a new take on understanding a pasuk in the Torah. That's become a lande yeskafi, and that's the chacham. And that's what Shlomo Melech is here to tell us. As the Mitzvah David explains, Chochmah is right in front of your eyes. Why? Because there's somebody around you who can always teach you something. Avalak seal, but the foolish person, and you show it to Eino, but could say, oh, it's his eyes wander. And they go astray, they look towards the end of the earth. Why? Ki achshav eimi b'mekomo, there's nobody here that I can learn from. Ki me chacham ha-yoshev merchok. I have to travel out to the chacham who live a distance away. I have to go all the way out to them. And only then will I acquire Chochmah. Ibn Ezra also learns like this. The fool is what? The Pnei Chochmah Hu Yilmedeh Mikol Adam. That's the one who's learning from everyone. That's the Maven. One who understands knowledge says, someone here in my proximity, have God put me here, there's something that I could absorb, glean from this individual. But the fool does what? Heima Meshotas Levakish Chochmah Kiyach Shavachi Mekomu Ksilin Kamo. Okay, Machis over, but he wants to go to a far off land, to a far off distance. It's a myself that I read in the Sefer of a Chosid who was Matzliach by his Rebbe, and his Rebbe was a young Rebbe. And whatever, anytime he had a business related question or an Avodas Hashem, he took it to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe gave him an answer, he gave him a Drocha, and he was Matzliach. One week he comes to the Rebbe, and he's told by the Gabbai the Rebbe's not here. He says, where's the Rebbe? The Rebbe's got to be here. He says, this week the Rebbe went to visit his Rebbe. He went away to his Rebbe. He says, so what am I going to the Talmud for? What am I going to beat around the bush? What am I wasting my time at the Talmud? Let me travel off into the distance. I'll move my whole family. And he picked up and he moved his family. He says, so let me go to the Rebbe's Rebbe. And he started making himself a chassid to the Rebbe's Rebbe. And all of a sudden, he wasn't Matzliach. And Ruchnius and Gashmius, he wasn't Matzliach. And his business is falling apart. And he says, I gotta move back. And he moves back and he goes to the Rebbe. He says, I understand. He says, every time I listen to you, I was Matzliach. I went to your Rebbe that you listened to. And I was this. He says, because if God had you live in my city, God's saying, I'm the one you're supposed to go to. He doesn't want you looking. There's always someone smarter and there's always that, you know, it's always the grass is greener. If Hashem puts you in a certain locale, there's a reason for it. And there's something to take and learn from everybody. That's the idea Ben Ezra says, but people, there's an excitement. Let me go far away lands. Let me find the person on the mountaintop in Nepal. And let me go, yeah, it's right here in front of you. God, Loma Shemayim. He isn't just Loma Shemayim. It's not across Loma Ivan Yam. It's right here. There's always places and people that can give you Chachma. Let's take a look again at the Rabbah. And the Rabbah says, he'll always find Chachma. Why? This is a different take. Why is it in front of him? The Ibn Ezra and the Matzudas David focused on, they're always people from whom you can learn. There are always people that could teach you something in your vicinity, in your locale. That was their focus. The Rabban has a totally different focus. Forget about people. There's always something going on around you that you can learn from. There's always Neflos Abori. Look around at the world. You don't have to travel to see the Swiss Alps. It's nice to see the Alps. It's nice to see the Canadian Rockies. But you can see Neflos Abori right here. Rochatzka Levinstein writes a whole piece in his Oye Cheskel and Elo, how he was sitting on one day lunch by a windowsill. And he finished his lunch and he saw a tiny little ant. And he writes, he says, everyone goes to the zoo. Nobody goes to zoos to see the ants. You might see an ant hill. What do you, the zoo, you want to see the elephant, right? The largest land creature, of course, is the bull African elephant. Anywhere between 10 and 14 tons. And you want to see a huge, massive elephant. And he says, what's the big chokhmah, an elephant? It's an unbelievable thing. But you know what? He says, it's more neflos abori, an ant. How did God get a brain, a circulatory system, a digestive system, a reproductive system? Where are the organs in this little minuscule ant? How did God squeeze it all in there? An elephant, we understand, is it got the big intestine and all up, and it's like, God, what's in the flow? Somebody ever wonder, look at a minuscule ant, how in the world is this tiny creature functioning and reproducing and eating and digesting and carrying 10, 20, 100 times its weight? How in the world is it doing it? And he writes 2 pages about an ant. And he says, that's Neflos Abori. You see, there's always Neflos Abori right here in front of your face. That's the Rabag. If you're a Chacham, it's not just Lomi Mikol Adam, it's Lomi from everything. Ki koma sheyargish osmi advarm am nitzoy, yitza chochma neflo kesheyachkor, alamashu, amashu. I'll just look around, there's something you can learn from wherever you go in this world. But the fool, he says, no, I have to go to exotic places. I have to go, if I see the Alps, that, then what? Oh, the, I, Efshel Lekayim Shneim, Efshel Lekayim Shneim. If you can get both, you get both. And the point is that it's all over the world, in the flow of Sabori, wherever you go. But I think it's a smach for my parents who love traveling all over the world. Why? Because after all these years, they realize that there's so many national parks that they've been going to, Yosemite and Yellowstone. People go all over the world, and they realize in the United States itself, you have unbelievable national parks that possess unparalleled beauty, incredible Yosemite and Yellowstone, and okay, all these amazing national parks. Sometimes the beauty is right in your own backyard. But the point is that there's something to take from everything. Our Rabbi Levin was in a spall at a tree. At a tree, he didn't have to go anywhere. A tree was misrogish over a tree. We get so used to things. I mean, that's the idea of the Rabbah. It's right in front of your eyes. That's what you have to look for. And that's the Mahalech of the Rabbah. And finally, Rashi. Yeah, let's just do Rashi. Rashi understands this in a very different sense. And Rashi understands we're going on Chochmah. Azot Rashi, Lomer, and Chochmah Tzuyah Lefanai Ki Rechokim Emeni. A person shouldn't say that the Torah is not here. The Rashi understands we're talking practically when it comes to wisdom. A person says, Eichuchu Lashana Seinu Nezikin. How can I finish Seinu Nezikin? Has 30 prokim. Meseches Kalim, 30 prokim. Meseches Shabbos, 24 chapters. The fool, he's always looking at the end. And this is Rashi's Mahalech. What's the Enik Seal book? It say, all right. Always a person, why should I learn it? It's of a Shas, it's 27, 11 folio pages. It's just a Tanakh, so many Sforim of Tanakh. Mishle, so many, 31 chapters of Mishle. What a, stop looking at the end. How many people, you buy a book and right away you go to the end, right? Our eyes are right away at the end. We have to see it because we're not patient. I'm not patient. That's what Rashi says. Over there, Talmud Chacham says, let me just do what I have to do today. Let me do 2 halachas today, 2 chapters today, and I'll look at what I have to do right here. And this is a famous part of the Chametz Chaim. Hashem tells us in Kriya Shema, what's the proper way to learn Torah? Person says, Torah is so vast. I'll never accomplish anything. Chametz Chaim says, you know what Hashem wants? Hayu hadvar ma'ila. Just take these words that you have to do today. And it gets back to Mishlei, one pasuk at a time. Take this one message. Hayu hadvar ma'ila, shanukim mitzavcha. Don't look around at what everybody else is doing. Don't look around at the Vilna Gaon and the Chavetz Chaim and how much Torah this person is accomplishing, the chulei. Just ask yourself, what does Hashem want you to do? How much does Hashem want you to learn hayom today? What's it, tomorrow? 2 halachas of, we know, you learn Sefer Chavetz Chaim. 2 halachas of Shmiras Halosh in a day, and all adds up, and every year you finish it. Every year you finish it. My wife, before she goes to sleep, learns 2-3 halachas. Shmiras, the only thing, she's on her 15th cycle. She never would imagine. It just, it all adds up. It's cumulative. But well, we're not patient. It's the same way in stocks. Everybody will tell you, just put it into good investments, good companies, good equities, and let it sit for 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. Over time, it does well. The people that are impatient, no, you got to make money fast. Everyone wants the $1 million deal overnight. You got to be patient. And that's Rashi telling us, don't look towards the end already. Just take it one page at a time, one chapter at a time. And it's based on the Medrash and Vayikra, your test base. You'll see that in the end, it all adds up. And that's how the Chacham approaches his or her learning. Yes.
My question was about the tree. Isn't there a statement, I don't remember where, maybe
tomorrow,
that a person shouldn't look up from his learning?
Excellent. Mishnah Parag Beis Bergeos, that someone who is a holech b'derech, vishone, umafsik mi mishnaso v'omer, Ilan Zunoya, near Zunoya, Hare Malav Akosaki the Meschai Ben Afsha. Person should not interrupt one's learning to look at the trees. The Rishonim say, what's the idea? Because even though you're not looking at the tree for no purpose whatsoever, you're looking to behold Neflo Sabore, even though it's for a noble purpose, but you're taking away from the Chashiva Satorah. If you're in the middle, that's why, notice, what does the Mishnah say? Mishnah says, someone who saw that Badach Vishonah, it only applies to Rishonim say, when you're in the midst of learning and then you stop, that's when it's a problem. You're in the middle of learning, you say, oh, hold on, Torah, this is more important. That's a slap in the face of the Torah. But if a person's on a train and you want to see the scenery, you're on a play, and you want to go and see it, there's nothing wrong. On the contrary, it's praiseworthy. So you should see Neflos HaBorei. The question I always had is, why is the example of a Mishnah a tree? I don't know, there's so many beautiful things in the world. Why is the example of the Mishnah tree? So I thought perhaps one could suggest, and I saw the Klosenberger Rebbe says a similar idea. We know the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, and the Malach HaMavis was there to take away David HaMelech's neshama. The Zohar in Chelek Aleph, Tzari Aleph, Amud Beis, David was given 70 years by Adam. So David knew that after 70 years, his time was up. So what happened? He got absorbed in learning, because learning is a shield. And if you're absorbed in learning, the Malach HaMavis can't touch you. If you're shakua, fully immersed in Torah, which is kulo tov, then the Malach HaMavis can't touch you. He can't take you. And there are other examples in the Gemara, Rochia. If you're in the middle of learning, he can't take you. So David HaMelech knew that it's 70 years because he was born on Shavuos. He died on Shavuos. The Yerushalmi says in Beah and Chagigah. And the Bechor Shor, the Binyan Ariel say, he was born and died on the same day like Tzadikim, Rosh Hashanah, Yad Aleph. So he was born in Shavuos, he died in Shavuos, and Shavuos that year coincided with Shabbos. And it all makes sense because David, of course, is the king of seven. So he is born on Shavuos after 7 weeks, and he dies in Shavuos, and he dies in Shabbos the seventh day, and he's the seventh guest who visits us on Sukkot on the seventh day of Sukkot, and he is the seventh son of Yishai, and he marries 18 wives, but the seventh wife, the Chida writes, was Bas Sheva, the daughter of seven. So David HaMelech is the king of seven. His name is David, Gematria 14, seven doubled over. He says, Sheva Bayom Hilaticha, I praise you seven times a day. David is all about the number seven. So David HaMelech is born and died on Shavuos, and he dies on Shabbos. So he knows that his death is just, so what did he do? He sits and he learns the whole Shabbos. And the Malach HaMavis can't get him. How does the Malach HaMavis get him in the end? Russell's a tree. Why a tree? Why not get him with anything else? Perhaps because the Arizal says, David HaMelech was a Gilgal of Adam. That's why Adam gave him his 70 years. That's why Adam is Rosh HaTevis, an acronym. Adam, David Mashiach, writes the Arizal, Rami Pano, the Shlo, and others. So the Malach HaMavis, how are you going to get Adam and Chava? How did the Malach HaMavis, the Sotan, the Yetzirah, get Adam? He got Adam with a tree. How do you get Adam with a tree? There's something about the pull of a tree. And what's the real test of life? You're in Gan Eden. There are two trees to choose. You want the Eitz Hadas Tovaro, or you want the Eitz Chaim Hisham HaChazikim Ba, the Eitz Chaim of the Torah. Which one do you want? And the Malach HaMavis says, I'm going to get Adam with a tree. Now David here is the Gilgal of Adam. And David HaMelech is absorbed in learning, just like Adam before the Chait. How are you going to get him? Makes a lot of sense. He says, the same way I got his ancestor, the same way I got his reincarnate, I got him with a tree, I'm going to get double with the tree. David's holding on to the Torah, to the Eitz Chaim Ila Machzik and by Eitz Chaim Zutorah. I'm going to get him with another tree. A beautiful tree. A person's in the middle of learning, you're holding on to the Eitz Chaim, and how does the Yetzirah get you? Oh, he says, well, look at that tree outside. Look at that tree in the distance. That's how the Yetzirah tries to always get us. He doesn't get us a look at that shtuyot. Look at a beautiful thing, Hashem, that's around you wherever you go. Because wherever you go in the world, you're always, again, Sahara Desert, right? The famous joke, right? It used to be the Sahara Forest. I told the guy, at the end of the day, pretty much wherever, nobody inhabits the Sahara Forest. Wherever there is, wherever human beings inhabit, they're always trees. There's always a beautiful structure called a tree. And why is there a pole? Because we always have something innately in tune with a tree. Pasuk and Shoftim, this past week's parasha. Ki Adam eats hasadeh. Adam eats hasadeh. Man is likened to a tree. Why, when you were in school, you drew stick figures. And the stick figure of a man or woman looks like a tree. Right? The roots in the ground, the legs and the bark, and that's the human body. And then the head, and that's the top of the tree. That's the main thing. That's the pterus, and that's the hair. A tree looks like a human being when you draw it on a piece of paper. And that is Adam eats hasadeh. We have so much in common with the tree. And Yetzirah says, that's my way of getting you. Always got to be careful for the trees.
Didn't David HaMelech slip the, and then the sefer fell?
He went out to hear the rustling, and then he slipped on the step, and then he died.
The sefer.
That's how he got him. Right, but it all started with the tree. Not the sefer. It doesn't say the sefer. It says he stopped thinking for 1 second because he tripped. That split second that he stopped thinking about learning is when the Malchus is able to take away his nishama.
Is it true that it's possible to see the Malchus?
Yes, it is talked about.
My mother did.
It is talked about.
She did. She said, why is he standing there? And I said, there's nobody there, Mommy. And she said, the
Malchus
is there.
There is, there are chazals that everybody sees for a split second, the Malchus right before one passes away. But that's for another time. We have to finish this parak very quickly. Castle of a Bank Seal. Omer Liyalato. Kasalim of anger or anguish, different Rishonim here, how the father, when you have a son who goes off the derech and acts in foolish ways, that causes a father to get angry. Omer le'yaladato, when it causes rebellion, or different Rishonim here also, meres either miloshen ben sorer umore, a loshen of merida of rebellion, or loshen merirus, bitterness, is caused in le'yaladato to the mother who gave birth to him. And our verse explains, what is kas? Kas, anger is a temporary feeling. It's something that's ephemeral in nature. And when a son misbehaves, it causes a father. The father might want to give a patch, might want to give a hit. It causes the father to get angry, to have his temper flare up. The mother, though, she feels that inside bitterness. Why? Because the child came from her insides. That's why it's not l'imo, it's l'yoladato, to the mother who gave birth. There's always a special connection, and that's why if the son acts foolishly, the mother doesn't just get angry. She feels it's a rebellion against her essence. She feels the bitterness. It's a much deeper type of feeling, and that's what the child who goes off causes to the mother even more than the father. And that's what we find in Perkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Ches, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is praising Hayamod Shulchan Chamish Tamidu Hayolad Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai Hayamod Shulchan. He would enumerate the praises, and what was the praise of Yeshua? Didn't praise the father, it's praising the mother. Because when he acts right, it's going to give more nachas ruach to the mother than it will give to the father. That's kas lava being sealed. The child goes off the derech. Omer le'yaladato, and it's going to cause rebellion or bitterness to the one who gave birth. Gam onus letzadik lotov, lahakos nedivim ale yosher. The way the Rabbag understands is that a lotov, a person who's not good, will punish even the tzaddik. Meaning what? A person who is not good, ba'etzem, in his or her essence, even those who act righteously, a person always finds faults with everybody. People who are low tov. And notice it doesn't say a person who's a rasha ra. If you're a low tov person, even the tzaddik of all, even the gedolim, you'll always find something wrong. And you'll always look and find something wrong. God honors, and you'll say, oh, this person's worthy of punishment. That's on the heels of the ksil. There's nobody good in my locale, in my vicinity. I have to look for exotic places. Same thing. He says, oh, even the tzaddikim, I'll find fault. That's a person who's low tov. Lahakas nedivim ala yosher. He's going to strike, he's going to smite even the nedivim, those who are generous of heart, generous of spirit, ala yosher, on behalf of their integrity, they're honest. He can't stand it. He can't stand seeing tzidkus. He can't stand seeing righteousness. That's a person who is low tov. What should a person do to become that chochem as we close Perek Yedzayim? Choshech Amarav Yodei Das. Someone who wants to know knowledge, what does he do? Choshech is to hold back his statements. Lo chasachto espinchas yechircha. To hold back, if you hold back and you're sparing with your words, you hold back your amira. Amira comes from Adalev. Hold back your words. That's someone who knows Das. Vekaruach or Yekaruach. Someone who gives a chashivas to the breath, to the spirit of life, to his koach hadibur, vayiva ba'ab of nishmas chayim, a ruach mimalala, speaking spirit, and that's the breath of life. Ish tivun is a person of understanding, someone who knows how to watch and weigh every single word. I have to tell you, I just visited last week a stroke victim, and the stroke victim, Baruch Hashem, is regaining has koach hadibur, but he speaks a little slower than he used to. I said, he told me last week, he says, Rabbi Feiner, now I see what a bracha it is. He says, because Baruch Hashem, he has now a koach hadibur back, but now he has to think before he says every word that comes out of his mouth. So he's learning how to speak again. And he says you have to actively, so he speaks a little slower, not because he can't speak faster, because mentally he has to think about every word. He says, what a Musar lesson. Imagine if we would just stop to think every word and weigh each word carefully. Before it came out, what does Perkei Avos tell us? Perkei Avos Mishnah Yitzayin, Siyag L'Chachma Shtika. And that is the way to lock it in. And part of the idea is because, and this all connects to what we learned, Mekom Olam De'Yiskalti, because the person who's silent says, there's so much I can learn from observing the world around me, from listening to other people, from gathering information, morsels of wisdom that I could glean from people all around in my proximity. And that is something that can ensure that person's continuous, enhanced chokhmah and bina to watch your words. What do we find at the end of Perkei Aleph, Perkei Avos? Kayame gadalti bin chacham v'lo matzasi leguf tov mishtika el shtika different neschos in the Mishnah. But it means what? Staying silent, listening, being a good listener is ki gam evo machrish chacham yechashev. And here we see the obvious connection. Even the fool machrish chacham yechashev. Even the fool, he doesn't have so much intelligence, but if he keeps silent, chacham yechashev. Yes, don't open up your mouth. If you let, just pay close attention, say, oh, that's a wise person. Otem sfas of Navon, the wise and understanding, who's going to be considered like an Ish Navon? The one who seals up his lips. Hold back, because in the end of the day, what does that demonstrate? Also, self-control. Mara says it's all internal. Internally, if you have a thirst for knowledge, you want to learn from everybody. And that same internal drive says what? I have to overcome my internal daily battle. Person wants to speak, hold it back. Hold it back and listen. I remember once when I took a certain friend of mine in Eretz Yisrael to an Adam Godel who was saying a shiur. To an Adam Godel, and the whole shiur, every time the Adam Godel was speaking, he was sitting next to me. There were a lot of people, so the Adam Godel didn't notice. But he would say, oh, but what about this? What about? I just said to him, I said, I'll tell you what. Just listen. It's an hour, hour and a half. Just listen. Don't even take notes. Just listen beginning to end. Because the way his shiur works is, he asks questions, he gets you thinking, and then it all comes together at the end of the shiur. I said, just listen. It's like, you know, remember the years you watch a movie with your younger sister. No, what's going to happen? What's it? Patience. Just wait. It'll all come together in the end. I said, in the shiur, that's the chokhem. It's right in front. Ain't excels. Just wait. I told this person, just listen. The whole point is that it was his first time going to the shiur, and he wasn't trained by this Baal Machshava. So he was trying to find. I said, just sit back and listen. You'll see the different story. He came back the second time. Oh, what an amazing shiur. Sometimes just sit and listen. Even a person's not that smart, but lechachem yechashev, and that's how you accumulate wisdom. There'll be plenty of time to speak afterwards, but you got to just stay silent and grow. Emet Hashem next week. Perkut Ches Yishakoch. Have an amazing day. Oh, okay. After she admired all the beauty in this neighborhood, and now she wants to see the world. And it's Asher Lekayim Shem. But people will ask him, Rabbi Yoshua. Who said, they can ask him, did I see the Alps? Sai, Rabbi Yoshua never saw the Alps. So Chaim Kanevsky never saw the Alps. And what does it mean? If they have all, whenever they're not learning, whichever, so they take a walk in the garden. Chaim takes a half hour walk, but he's learning it. He sees that he doesn't need anything more than a tree. He's so small by a tree, by an ant, by a blade of
how they say the Chazon Ish.
Are you talking about the tree?